We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to always set before our eyes the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to always understand the purpose and the significance of His dying and rising again. And Lord, at this moment, may You, as You have promised, work through Your Holy Spirit and Your Word to keep the cross and the resurrection before us, to help us to evaluate and look at ourselves in light of what it is You say in the Scriptures, that we might be led to confession and repentance, that we might be led to receive the mercy offered here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On January 1st, 1973, a very well-known psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Carl Menninger published a book under the title, Whatever Became of Sin? Whatever Became of Sin? Dr. Menninger was realizing that that was something that was falling out of use. Even the word itself was falling out of use already as early as 1973. He realized that the world was changing and the world preferred not to see things through the lens of that word called sin. Oh, how prophetic it turns out that Dr. Menninger really was. In 2014, the Oxford Dictionary removed the word sin from the dictionary. And the reason for this removal from whoever was on that committee at Oxford, the reason was that the words fallen out of use and younger generations simply don't understand the concept. Sin is removed from the dictionary because people don't use it nearly enough and the younger generations simply don't have any concept of what it means. That same year, Oxford declared the word of the year to be vape. Vape. That was the word of the year in 2014. And not only was sin removed, here's some other words removed from the 2014 dictionary relating to Christianity. The word abbey, altar, bishop, chapel, disciple, monk, nun, and a real zinger to Lutherans, pew, saint, devil, and sin. All of those words removed from the dictionary in 2014. Now, the good news is none of the younger generation has probably ever used a paper dictionary. So they can find some definition somewhere, but there is something to learn here. Many believe and many are pushing to try to convince you that words like sin, words like the devil, are simply not relevant anymore. Almost as if just by removing it from the dictionary, it is removed from the world's consciousness. And in some cases, and in some places, sadly, that is true. Oh, and another word addition for the 2014 Oxford Dictionary was this, cancel culture. Now remember, the word of the day was vape. If they would have asked me, I would have said the word of the year for 2014 is ironic. Isn't it ironic, right? That all of these things are removed and the addition of cancel culture is now in. Dr. Menninger was on to something in 1973. And the direction things were going as he saw it then has not changed. I want to share this with you. It is a fact. If you have no concept of sin, you have no understanding who Jesus truly is. Ask anyone in the world if, hey, will you tell me who Jesus is? And if whatever it is that they say, you never hear the word sin as they talk about Jesus, my advice to you is run, because they are full of it. See, the problem today is constructing Jesus to be the man you would like him to be. But if there's no concept or even thought in your heart or mine about sin and its relationship to the person and work and death and resurrection of Jesus, then you are more lost than you could ever know. Saint Jerome says this: ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Jesus. Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Jesus. Many would say that today this is the most advanced that civilization has ever been in the history of all the world. I would say if that's true, I would also add another label, if you will, to our modern world today, and that is this: is the modern world is only growing more and more ignorant, maybe the most ignorant it has ever been, as it relates to the person of Jesus and why it is he came into this world. We are the most ignorant that the world has ever been as it relates into the truth of who Jesus is and why he's come into this world. If you set sin out of your mind, I'll tell you this, that also means you have put Jesus as Savior in your rearview mirror. If there's no mention and discussion of sin, you have put Jesus in your rearview mirror. And if you drive on in that way, I'll tell you this, is you have no Savior now, you'll have no Savior in the future, and in the end, when it's time for judgment, you will have to answer for yourself. Absent of any protection, any shelter, any covering, you will have to answer to your Maker for the sins that were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. And my hunch is, if you get to that point on that day at that moment, you won't even be given permission to speak. And this is why St. Paul says in the epistle today, verse 6, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 6 reminds you and I what the very purpose and nature of the death and resurrection of Jesus was for. It is for and offered for the redemption of the ungodly. Verse 8, he goes on to say that the object of Christ's death and resurrection is for sinners. Now we have two things. The death and resurrection of Christ is for the ungodly, for sinners, and in verse 10, another thing is added, for those who are enemies of God. And 10 says, he actually died for you and I, came back to life while we were still enemies. And he goes on to add in verse 10, while you and I were helpless, in a helpless condition, the text says. In other words, you and I are unable to change our status from ungodly to godly. You and I cannot, through our own power, go from sinner to sinless. You and I cannot, by our own power, apart from the cross, go from enemy of God to son, daughter, friend of God, adopted into his forever family. Jesus echoes this when he says, I came into the world not for the righteous, but for sinners. This is why I have come. Sin, brothers and sisters, when we keep it in our hearts and minds, when the Spirit convicts us of it, will always keep your and my eyes on the person of Jesus. It will always bring us to his feet, where we are and remain people in need of the saving that Jesus offers us every single day of our life, which began for you and me at our baptism. That moment we go from enemy to son or daughter, from enemy to child of God, adopted into his forever family. Now, this is where we've reached our intermission in the service, but don't worry, the second part isn't as long as the first. I know this is going on in the hearts and minds of at least one person in the pews today. Pastor, all this talk and reminding me about sin is such a downer. Wah, wah, wah. Right? I come to church that I might be uplifted and feel better. You just ruined that for me. And I would say, well, here's the thing. Somebody should never come up into this place to speak to people like you with the goal, I hope you leave here happy. It's not ever crossed my mind stepping in here that I hope I make you happy. I am called by you to enter into this spot to declare to you what God says about a thing and what God has done for you in light of that thing. And some of us need to get to the point of maturity to call a thing what it is. It is sin, and you still need the saving that Jesus offers. The forgiveness he extends to you. See, in this place on a Sunday morning, it is all about God's acting on you. Not your acting for him, but him acting for you. You're not in need of happiness, brothers and sisters, when you come here. You're in need of resurrection. Resurrection from choosing death far too many times to go your own way. As Moses says, today life and death is set before you. I invite you to choose life. But Israel, led by their sinful nature, their own desires, always, always, always seem to end up choosing death. So, where is our joy, right? Notice I'm using the word joy, not where is our happiness. Paul gives us the answer to this question in the epistle today. He says this, "But we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation." The joy of Christianity is and will always be knowing that your sins and my sins have been answered for through Christ's death and resurrection. You and I aren't enemies, but Paul tells us we, through Christ, are now reconciled. We hear the words, "Your sins are forgiven us." We are resurrected, restored, and reconciled before God. The cross continues to pour into your life and mine. Paul says, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. What is that time? That time is now. That time is tomorrow. That time is all the days you have left on this earth. We pray. Lord Jesus, you have called your church to be a beacon of light and truth in an ever-increasing dark world. And Lord, the world and the devil are in complete concert with one another and would love to remove the thought of sin from our minds, the reality that we are indeed sinners by nature, which leads us to commit sin. The world would love us to believe that sin is nothing and the devil doesn't exist. And this is exactly what the devil would want. He rejoices that his name is removed from a dictionary, that he might continue to work in darkness as he has always done. But the truth of the matter is this, Lord, is you speak to us, you give us a word which at times convicts us, at times renews us, at times reconciles us. But Lord, what joy is there in this salvation if we don't ever understand that which we are being saved from? We call a thing what it is, we repent, and we bow and beg for your mercy, knowing that you are a God who has promised to give it, and as a result, you have prepared a place in heaven for us. And because of this, Lord, when we stand before you on that final day, we are not alone. Our Lord Jesus and his work covers us. And we rejoice that his blood has washed us and made us white. We rejoice that we don't have to answer for ourselves, and pending that answer determines whether we get a room. We point to the cross. We will have the Lord Jesus victorious standing with us, with the nail marks still in his hand, but alive, living, and active, and for us. So may we take comfort, Lord, in your truth, the fullness of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.